صلوا على محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم صل وسلم على
محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب الله العالمين أبي لقاء سمي محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين سيما بقية الله في الأرضين. قال الله تعالى في كتاب الكريم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ونريد أن نمن على الذين استضعفوا في الأرض ونجعلهم أئمة ونجعلهم الوارثين. صلى على محمد وآل محمد. الحمد لله. We started this discussion and the main topic is analysis of personalities, those who are present at the battle of Karbala, and through this analysis we want to select the qualities which made them at their place, those who were going to help Imam and those who were going against Imam. This should not be an accident that someone like Hazrat Hur could help Imam and he could change his mind, and he came from the army of Yazid and joined Imam Hussein. And many people who were aware of the status of Imam Hussein could not join Imam Hussein, and they stayed with the army of Yazid and they fought against Islam. And we wanted to go through the analysis and to see how they became such personalities. This should not be an accident. This should not be a written script from Allah that they should join Yazid. Otherwise, they were not, obliged to do this job if that was the force behind them. So I think there should be some simple steps, very simple, small steps, which a person can take and go towards a certain side, either it is right side or the wrong side. And as I mentioned yesterday, we have this beautiful sentence, "Kullu yawmin ashura wa kullu ardin Karbala." And this sentence says that every day is Ashura and every land is Karbala. Because then obviously we know that every day is not Ashura and every land is not Karbala. So this is a symbolic expression, and it says that just as the battle of right and wrong fought in the battle of Karbala, you have this battle of right and wrong fought in your own self, whenever you are and wherever you are. So a very small issue can be a Karbala for you. And in this small issue, you should check how I made the decision. And again, as I mentioned, I think all that we have now is the result of a few decisions we have taken in our life. And all what we will become, again, will be the result of very small decisions which you will take and I will take in our life this time, and then we will become at that position. So we should be very careful in our decisions, very small decisions. So very small decisions, when will you wake up? A very small decisions, will you help that guy? Very small decision, how much you should spend your time on a certain issue. All these decisions, when brought together, make your personality, which you have now. And this will make you in future. So, kullu yawmin ashura, وَكُلُّ أَرْضٍ كَرْبَلًا. Every one of your decision can make you Hazrat Hur. Each one of your decision can make you Hazrat Abbas. And unfortunately, each one of the decision, these decisions, if not decided very well, can lead to be a person which you don't like. So, how we take decisions, and what are the elements behind these decisions? I think the most important thing is our attachment, whom you are attached to, what are the issues which you give attention, and you are very sensible, very serious, you can check yourself, what I am attached to. Though it may be, I thought, very deceiving not to see how I am attached to these things. So generally, I may say that I'm not attached to anything, I'm absolutely free, I can make very good decisions without being forced to do so. This saying is good in the words, but it will be good in the practice when I will be tested. So you, before you were tested from somewhere else, why not test yourself by yourself? So just look at yourself, what I can sacrifice for right and what I cannot sacrifice for wrong, and why I cannot sacrifice. Isn't it that I always love to be on the right side, so why I cannot sacrifice? And maybe I say that I can sacrifice everything, and that simply I can say I can sacrifice everything, but just test yourself. And how I can test myself? Look at your schedule. Look at the way we are dealing with our life, this precious life, which we don't have any chance, any second chance. So if I can check myself, if I could check myself, I can find my issues, where I bow my head. Though I know very well this, that I should not bow here. So attachments are very cruel. I think attachments are very cruel. You don't want to do this, but you will do, because you are attached. Now, what are these attachments? For someone, it may be a reputation. You see the politicians, we were just talking about politicians, their corruption. Don't they know they are corrupt? Yes, they know. Don't they know that how much misery they have created for the people? In Pakistan, that just, for example, in my country, we have around 150 million people living there. And those 150 million people are in a state of living which is miserable, really. Which is miserable. Now just look at that flood which displaced around 20 million people. So these corrupt guys, they know what they are doing. They know it very well, what they are doing, what they are causing in the life of people. But they can't go away just because they cannot control their desires. If they see money coming here, wealth coming here, they can kill hundreds of thousands. Gradual mass slaughter. They can do this. Okay, even if I give him a knife and kill a cat, maybe he cannot. But they are killing hundreds of thousands with this slow poison of corruption, with this slow poison of robbing the wealth of a country, of a nation. They are killing them. But they are not controlling them. Why? They are attached. They cannot leave it now. And I have heard about politicians, those who lose their battle of, for example, election. At the night they lose it, they become mad. Sometimes they are out of their control. They are so much attached to their position, they cannot think of it losing. So they fight, and they fight with all their power just because they want it. So surely we are better than them. Surely we are better than them because we don't have that chance. Because, might be because we don't have that chance. Because I cannot be a PM, Prime Minister of Pakistan, so I will not go up to that extent, and I will fairly say I am not killing anyone. And just because I am not tested. If I was tested, what will happen? I don't know. So go through yourself, and traditions can be of help to you and us. Traditions are beautiful. Sometimes I think how much humanity take the burden to learn from something. You see, it takes hundreds of years for you to learn a simple reality. My specialization beside in Islam, if it was a specialization, it was political sciences. I did my MPhil in political sciences, in social sciences, you may say. And in social sciences, it takes hundreds of years to get to an experience when you can say, okay, I can understand what's happening. Because society is an object which you cannot change. Society goes through its own pace, it goes through its own time. So hundreds of years it passes when you get to one reality and one law of social sciences. But if you just go through the traditions, those great personalities have given us the rightest rules in very simple words. So sometimes I feel ourselves proud of these traditions. Tradition from Holy Prophet, tradition from his, from Ahmad Tar alayhi salam. I'm proud of them because they laid the foundation of our information and our intellectual and our knowledge in very simple words. And I think the most beautiful traditions are the traditions which explain the causes, how it happens, why it happens, how you can control them. In one of the traditions, I noted here, someone asked a masoom, what is the harshest thing in a person's life? What is the worst thing which can happen to a person? He said, Ghadabullah. If Allah gets angry, it is the worst thing. Avoid it. The person asked, how can I avoid anger from Allah? How can I avoid Ghadabullah? He says, control your own anger. Allah will not give you any punishment. Control your own anger. Allah will be satisfied with you. He will be Ravi. The person carries on and he said, how can I control my anger? What are the roots of my anger? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you see the person asking the question and going through the roots, going through the causes. So what is the worst thing in a person's life? Anger from Allah. If Allah gets angry, it's worse for you. How can I avoid anger from Allah? He said, control your own anger, you will avoid it. He said, what are the causes of my anger? The tradition says, you have three causes of anger. You control them, you will control your anger. You control your anger, Allah will be satisfied, He will be Radhi with you, and this is the happiest thing which you can attain. So what are the three main causes? First one, he said, you think of yourself as superior to others. Because you think yourself superior to others, you get angry on their movements, on their decisions, on their, you see, treatment with you. Don't think of yourself as superior to others. You are not superior. You are created by Allah, and all of them are created by Allah. You are not superior. The second thing, he says, the second reason, that you see themselves inferior in your eyes. Sometimes you see, I am superior, I am the greatest. And sometimes you say, no, I am the normal, but they are below normal. They are inferior. So they are not inferior. They are good in front of Allah. Allah created him. And what a beautiful tradition, once a prophet asked Allah to give punishment to that nation, they are very bad. Allah said, okay, I will punish them. You just go and prepare some pots with mud. You see, they can prepare pots with mud. He prepared a lot of them. Then Allah said, okay, crush them. You see, he said, so easily? It took me so many hours to prepare all these pots. Just crush them. Why? Allah said, don't you think they are my creations? You are asking me to crush them? I love them. I send you because I love them. So why are you asking me to crush them? This is very beautiful. So if someone thinks that he is superior, he gets angry. If someone thinks that people are inferior, he gets angry. Why they are so inferior people, why they are doing this and that beside me? Then he gets angry. The other thing, he don't want to give justice. He want to be an oppressor. He want to give injustice. That's why he becomes angry. And if someone is claiming, no, give me justice. I want justice. He becomes angry. So we have three rules of anger. If you control these three rules, you are not superior. People are not inferior. You cannot do injustice. Then you will not get angry. If you don't get angry, then you can avoid ghadabullah, anger from Allah. And if Allah is pleased with you, everything is okay. Rest is not important. Actually, rest is not important. I do think every attachment is a result of a deception, of some sort of corruption in ideas, some sort of corruption. Why I am attached to something? What I was telling, traditions can explain the rules. traditions can explain the roots. Now, what are the roots of attachment, being attached to something which can stop us from going to the right way? Because we don't know the reality of these issues. Because we don't know the reality, we get attached. So, for example, if I could, stay somewhere which is very good and very loving for me, and someone wants me to go out of here, I will become angry and I am attached, and he asked me to do this and that, otherwise I will throw you out, and I will say, okay, I will do this. And this is what happens for many of us when we go to any other country and they ask us to do this and that, otherwise you will be thrown out, and I say, okay, we will surrender, no issue, because we want to stay here. Now, why do you want to stay here? Isn't it that Allah with you? What if they throw you out? Sometimes I fear we could not perceive the reality that risk is in the hands of Allah. And sometimes we are so closed in our mind, I think, that we think that if I lost this country or that country, then I'm ruined, I'm destroyed. Why we don't think Allah can give us? And it will not be finished. There is nothing which is finished. Just see it, Karbala. Sometimes you can place yourself in the battle of Karbala. Think of it. At the time of Asr, in the battle of Karbala, Imam Hussein was attacked, his head was, thrown away, and everything is finished. How someone will think if he was there? Just imagine if a third person was there in that battle, how he will see the case of Imam Hussein. He will see it is finished. Now nothing left for him. Just a son who is sick and who cannot do anything. But okay, everything changed. There is no finish. If you did anything for Allah, it will not finish. It will remain forever. مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدُ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقٍ. Whatever you have, it will finish. Whatever you have sent to Allah will not finish. It will remain forever. So, attachments are a result of deception. We are deceived. We are deceived by something, so we are attached beyond the limit. So, if we could make our mind think over issues, go to the reality, go to the depth of the issues, then I think we can avoid being attached to something which can stop our way going towards the right way. Sallallahu alaihi Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Yeah, there are two examples here. Once I wanted to explain this thing, case of attachment and attachments are not good. Once I wanted to explain this to my kid, he said, give me an example. So I thought, what example I can give him? I said, just like your toys. You are a kid, you have a toy, you are attached with it. And how much attachment, how much time it will take to remain attached with this toy? But we become a big person, a full grown up person. Then will you be attached with this toy just as you are attached now? If someone asks you to give him this toy, you will not give him. You think because you think that this car is very precious, and if I give him, I lost everything. And how many dreams a kid prepares in his mind, okay, I have this car, and I will do this, and I will do that. And after a few years, he realizes it is just a toy, nothing else. Same will happen to us. We are looking at this material world. Everything is important for us. The place we are living, the property we possess, the relationship we have, everything is important for us. Just it will take a little time, and you cross this world, everything is finished. Then you will be a grown-up person. No toy will deceive you, because you know the reality. They were not real. They were for time being, for a certain time, for example, 30, 40 years, not more than this. How much will you live here? 50, 60 years, 70 years? And then we have a big way to go. And remember this beautiful sentence from Muhammad Hussain Tabatabai, Ayatollah Muhammad Hussain Tabatabai. He said, you are not created for temporary, being temporary. You are forever. We are forever. We will not destroy. We will not finish. We will die. We will change our status. We will change our world. And we will go to another world. But we will remain forever. So don't be attached to things which are not forever. These toys are not forever. Your personality is forever. Your character is forever. So build yourself. Go to the higher objectives. Don't let yourself be deceived by these minor things and how powerful they are in their deception. You can see. If you have 6 billion people on earth, most of them are deceived. Unfortunately. Fighting each other, killing each other, robbing each other. But, okay, it will just take a while. Then everything will be clear. You see, before a person dies, a few moments before his death, the other world becomes clear. The other world which was hidden, which exists right now, but it is hidden. Just a few moments before death, it becomes open. And then he can see. And the greatest of sorrows and the greatest of griefs starts from here. Because now he can see what he is going to see now and what he has left. And then all of a sudden he realizes the mistakes, fortunate ones, those who will be happy at that time, they have not done anything wrong. They did everything right. So they will be very happy. But the other people, they will remain stuck what we did with ourselves. So it is now ended. He will try to go back. He will ask Allah to send me back. I will do this and that. Allah said, no, it's finished now. Your time is gone now. So you have to transfer yourself to the other world. And in the other world, there is no deception. There is everything clear, right clear. I sometimes joke with people, they say, Abu Sufyan was an enemy of Holy Prophet, and he will become mu'min after that. Everyone will become mu'min. Why? Because as he died, now he has no way to deny. Because it is very obvious now. I can argue with you, this is not night, this is day. I can argue with you, then all of a sudden I go out and see the sky. Now what can I do? Can I continue with my argument? No, it is obviously it is night. This happens when we die. As we die, everything is clear. Now this is not the game of words, this is not the game of argument. It's very, very clear. Now you cannot deny the Holy Prophet was not prophet. Now one cannot deny that there is no God. No, he is God. It's very clear. Now, no one can deny that there will be no day of judgment. It is starting now. How can one deny? So, after death, everyone become mu'min. Abu Sufyan become mu'min. Abu Jahl become mu'min. But this iman will not give him any benefit. Be mu'min before your death. So, this is your time. This is your time. And beautiful time. Wonderful time. You cannot imagine, I think, what it was 30 years or 40 years back. It was really tough. You could not prove your reality. You could not prove your rightfulness. But it is very good time now. You can do a lot. A lot of your realities have been proved by those who are once denying them. As I told you yesterday, that documentary down the rabbit hole, now they are accepting, they are living beings. They are themselves accepting it. They are not Muslims, fortunately or unfortunately. And through their physics, through their laws, through their sciences, they are accepting, they are okay. They are living. They can change. And I think you have heard the research done by a Japanese on the water. It is on the net and the website. If you search in the Google, messages from water, you can go through it. Water can learn from you. Water can hear from you. They did a wonderful experiment. They took a drop of water and they dropped the temperature and it become freeze. And as it freezes, it gives you crystals. It gives you crystals. And you can see these crystals through microscopes. So they did wonderful experiences. And this Japanese guy, I forgot his name, and he said, if you just place a sticker on the glass, it says thank you. The crystal formed by water are different. If you just stick a paper which says I will destroy you, the crystal formed in the water are quite different. It is on the net. And this is done by the Japanese guy. And then an Iranian scholar did that with Holy Quran. He somehow recited Holy Quran in front of a water, some quantity of water, and then he did the same thing and crystallized it, and he said, what beautiful pattern were formed when water could hear the sound of Holy Quran. It looks fiction, but if you go through the net and you can find it, it is reality. So when I first heard that, and when I first read that, I said, okay, sometime I have heard that the Holy Prophet gives a water to a person and he said, Bismillah Rahman Rahim, and he blown in it. And he gave it, okay, now take it. So initially we were thinking it is just fantasy type of thing. It is just very conservative approach, but not now it has become a scientific approach. Water can change itself. And you see, your water mostly your water in your body, more than 60%, I think it was 70% around, more than 60% of us are water. So many things can change, many things. This is wonderful time. You can prove yourself. So make your decisions intellectually. Don't let by accident that your future decided. Intellectually make your decisions. Intellectually make your future. And you are making your future. Not only this world. Future of this world is very simple to solve. You are making your future of that world. And this world, how many years I will live? For example, if I think of myself with this life in Pakistan, I don't think I will cross 60s. So, if I was lucky enough. So, it is really not that important for me. In my experience, I'm telling you, not that important for me how I will go through these 10 or 15 years, 20 years, at least in the world I'm seeing this. But if I think about the hereafter, which is hundreds of thousands of years, and which is forever actually, it becomes important for me to see what will happen after this. This is 20, 15 years, not more than this. Or maybe lesser, or maybe a bit more. But what will happen with hundreds of thousands of years which is going to come? And many worlds which I will cross through. So, make your decisions. So, you heard that example of toy, that a toy is very precious for a kid, but after a few years, it is waste. You throw it away. Or just he keeps it as a memory for my childish behavior. There's nothing else. So this is me. And the second example, the good example, there was a king, though most of the kings are not very good, but there was a king who had an advisor, and he said to his advisor, I want you to give me a sentence. I will write that sentence on my ring, and give me a sentence. If I am happy, I will look at your sentence, and I could control my happiness. And if I was feeling sorrow, the sentence, same sentence, could give me the power to control my sorrows. He said, okay, I will give you. He gave him a sentence, a beautiful sentence. It says everything, like what I have tried to write it here, it will not remain forever. It will not remain forever. So if you are happy, be aware, it will not remain forever. And if you are feeling sorrow or grief, okay, it will not remain forever. How much happy you are on a certain time, on a certain day, you achieve something very big, and you just remember it will not remain forever. So easy. This is this world. This is material world. Material worlds have pains, are beautiful, and beautiful things have pains. This is the contradiction of this material world. You can eat too much, it will bring you pain. You can feel a lot of pain, it will bring beautiful things. Look at Operation Theta. Lot of pain, lot of blood, lot of miseries, but it can bring happiness. And look at those happiness, people going through them and getting them, and they don't know how much pain they created for their 1 hour of happiness. How much pain they created. Look at this capitalist society. I wonder when people will get the reality of this system. No more than 5%, no more than 10% of this earth are happy. What is the cost? 90%. 90% of other people. So, in the calculations which were given by United Nations, I think it was 20 years back, they said around 20% of the wealth distributed between 80% of the population. And 80% of the wealth concentrated in the hand of 20%. So 80% of the population of the entire world are getting 20% of the resources, and 20% of people getting 80% of resources. Now every one of those 20% are giving miseries to 4 people to get their pleasure. So if they are getting something, they are taking away from 4% and leaving them behind crying in their pain, agony, and they are living their beautiful life with happiness. This is your material world. So don't be the part of this cruel system. Don't be a part of it. How can we not be part of it when we are living in this world? At least you do the right thing. Do the right thing. And whatever you can do to be on the right path, make your decisions. I always think myself, make good decisions. Because these decisions will plan, these decisions will give us the design for our future and for the humanity. Look at how it is happening here. This is really troubling for a person to see a part of the world enjoying its life at the cost of others. This is not good. It's really not good. And fortunately, unfortunately, we don't feel the pain which the other people are suffering, really. Fortunately, why? Because if you go through them, you are really disturbed. In a sense, you're going to feel the pleasure of your own life because you see a lot of them. Fortunately or otherwise, I had these experiences, a lot of these experiences in Pakistan and in other countries, especially in Pakistan, because I travel too much. If someone asks me where you live, I say on the wheel. If it is a bus or a train or an aeroplane, I live on wheel. So I travel too much, and during these travels, I have seen a lot of issues of humanity, how they are, you see, locked in their life. They cannot change it. And unfortunately, they cannot change it, and those who can change it, they are the criminals. They are the criminals. So, don't be part of this cruel system. Make your right decisions, and with these right decisions, you will get rid of those attachments which can change your mind, which can lock you in the cruel system. So this is the message from Mom Sen. Be free. Be free. In lam yakun lakum dinun wala takhafun al ma'ad fakunu ahraran fi dunya. If you don't have religion, you have no fear of your life after death, then at least be free. Wonderful message. If you don't have religion, if you don't fear of the life after death, at least be free. And who is free? Free is a person who cannot be deceived by his desires. Free is a person who cannot be deceived by material attachments. Free is a person who thinks freely, who cannot be forced to bow his head. He is free. And Imam Hussein is free. Sayyidul Ahrar, he is the leader of those who were free. And before him, at his time, and those who will come up to the day of judgment, he is the leader of those, all those who are free. Try to be free. So your leader will be Imam Hussain. And then he will guide you. So as much as you are free, he will guide you. As much as you are free, he will guide you. Ask him to guide you. Because he is your leader. He is Sayyidul Ahram. Be free and you will get guidance. From whom? From the one regarding him. Al Prophet said, Inna al-Husayn, Misbahul Huda, wa Safinatul Najat. He is the light of guidance. He is the torch of guidance. And he is a boat of Najat for safety. You can ride it and you will be safe. You will be secure. So, Alhamdulillah, you can call yourself very fortunate one. Very fortunate one. Though these terminologies have changed, I wonder why it's happening. Now you see, fortunate is called for wealth. Fortune is wealth now, these days actually. So they print a list of fortunate people, list of 500 fortunate people, the wealthiest people. They call them fortunate. They're not fortunate, they're unfortunate. And you are fortunate. You are fortunate because you have Imam Hussain. You have Islam. Ask him to guide you because he is the master of free person, free will. And with this sacrifice, he somehow get the attention of all those who are free. A free person sacrifices, and he sacrificed. So a free person will see how he sacrificed his life and his family. I will sacrifice. He is an inspiration for everyone. You see, a lot of Christian, a lot of Hindu, a lot of Jews, actually, in fact, a lot of those who don't believe in Allah, they do respect Imam Hussain. Why? Because all of them can see he was free. He was free of everything. He sacrificed Hazrat Ali Akbar, the beautiful personality of Hazrat Ali Akbar. How much he was attached to Hazrat Ali Akbar. His son, his elder son, Ali, okay, he sacrificed. Because he was free. And the toughest part started after his death. That was really tough. How he could manage it, how he could satisfy himself and his sister to give this sacrifice. Inshallah, we will mention it in the future lectures, inshallah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Yeah, if you wanted to share anything or any suggestion or any question, I kept question in the last because initially sharing your experience and sharing your thoughts and ideas are very important. It gives us a new experience and it is always fruitful. So if you want to share something, if there's any suggestion or question, please get it done. If you have free time in these days, if you could find free time, I want to share another experience from me.
Actually, he was trying to ask a question.
Sorry, I couldn't ask you.
When discussing the battle of Imam Hussain, a lot of times when I discuss it with my Sunni brothers and sisters, they say that an argument they use against us is that when we defend Imam Hussain and Ahlul Bayt and the conflicts that they had between them, between, let's say, Imam Ali and Muawiyah, and later on Imam Hussain al-Salam and the Yazid, they said by doing so we do interfere and split between the Sahaba. And that we shouldn't do that.
Okay.
An argument I often use is that there is nothing called neutrality it's always a good guy and a bad guy. It's always been like this in history. But today, when I see Muslims, even the Shiites, when discussing conflicts, they say, "Oh no, we should stay neutral. Mm. We shouldn't take part." What is your opinion about that?
I think if our religion had allowed us to be neutral, I would prefer to be neutral, because being neutral is the safest way. You will not get any trouble. But I think our religion has not allowed us to be neutral. A beautiful sentence from Amir Mu'minin, Hazrat Ali alayhi salam, he said, "Kuna lidhalim khasman walil mazlum awnan." Now, I might not be able to translate it. If someone can translate this sentence.
Be enemy to the oppressed one. Yeah, the
okay. So be enemy to one who is oppressing, and be a supporter to one who is oppressed. Now, is there any way we can be neutral in the light of this sentence?
Yeah.
No. It's strange. He said, "Be enemy. Be enemy to the oppressor." Not just you say, "Okay, this is nothing to do with me. I'm going to my home. This is nothing to do." But he said, "Okay, be enemy with him. He's an oppressor, and you have a duty from me to be enemy of that oppressor." Now, this will of Amir Mu'minin Hazrat Ali alayhi salam was given to his son, Imam Hassan or Imam Hussein. And he said, spread it to everyone that you should be enemy to the oppressor. You should be a supporter to the oppressed one. So
in your opinion, there is nothing called neutrality?
Yeah, I don't think. Our religion will not allow us.
Because in a lot of cases, you see, during the Muharram, the Shias, they beat themselves and they say, "Oh, I wish we were there." And mm-hmm. If I was there, I'm sure I've been with Imam Hussein, but looking at today's society, the same people that go and grieve for the month of Muharram, they are not considered with, from small cases to the civil society up to big cases, big political cases, where you can't actually be neutral.
Yeah.
There's always a good side and a bad
side. Yeah. Now, how this happens? Because not everyone goes into the depth. Not everyone goes into the realities. So if someone says, "Okay, I'm a follower of Imam Hussein," if you ask him, "If you are a follower, are you supporting the right?" Then I'm a neutral person, he will say. Okay? Why? Because you don't know what is the meaning of being a supporter of Imam Hussein. Because you don't know the messages of Imam Hussein. And this happens. You see, so many people go to school, colleges, do they really understand what is science? No, not too many. Just they get a degree and they come out without getting any knowledge of real science. So this happens with religion. Someone is a part of a religion and he practices this religion and he says, and there are so many slogans, but in reality he's not very much aware of what's happening here. Same is the case with those guys who say, "We are followers of Imam Hussein." They beat themselves for Imam Hussein, they cry for Imam Hussein. But when it comes to sacrifice, now again, a wonderful sentence from Imam Hussein, "An-nas abidu dunya, wa dinu la'ikum ala al-sinatihim, wa idha muhisu bil bala qallad dayyanu." He said, "People are servants of this world. They are servants, they are slaves of this material world. Wa dinu la'ikum ala al-sinatihim. And religion is a word on their lips only, on their tongue only. It moves on their lips and tongue and nothing else. Where the muhisu bil bala, when they are tested, very few of them are really, really religious. They leave their religion." So this happens. Our religion said, "Be sadiq, don't tell a lie, but if for a very minor case, for 10 krona I will lie." So where's the religion? This happens. Yeah, please.
And then, with regards to the hadith about
opposing the oppressors and supporting the oppressed.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be wrong to live in Western countries because, in a way, they're all oppressors? And I mean,
This is a very critical question. Is it really wrong to live here? Now, what is your perception regarding your life? Why you came here? What are you doing here? What is your planning? All these questions will involve in a decision to live here. So if someone says that I am here just because I wanted a peaceful place to live, don't want to be part of any conflict, so I'm living here in the beautiful mountains and everything is okay for me, I have no problem at all. I think he could not understand life. And someone may say that I am here, I am getting knowledge, I am getting experience, I want to serve my country, I want to serve my religion, my people, I am here to get everything and I will go back and I will achieve what I wanted to achieve. But unfortunately it takes him 40 years to go back and it is in the coffin actually. So he goes back. So different type of people here. So not everyone is so much focused why he's living here, why he's living here. So what is the best to do? Make your decision. Are you living for your own self? Living for your own luxuries? Living for your own happiness just to avoid the grief, troubles and problems of others? Not a very good objective. Not a very good objective. But if you say, no, this is transitional. I'm here, I'll be quick, I will go back and I will do my job. This is good. Be honest and do this. This is what I think. So, I think we should stop this now. Inshallah. Officially we will meet tomorrow, inshallah. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Oh. Oh.